Our first scripture lesson today comes from the prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 1. So listen with me for the word of God. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant."
Continuing with our scripture this morning, here are these words from the New Testament, Mark chapter 13, the first verses. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still yet to come." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence. Strengthen where we are weak. Heal us where we are broken. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I hope you all had a good New Year's celebration. As usual, we stayed in on New Year's Eve, but that's okay with me because every New Year's Day, I like to write in my journal a couple of pages of what I hope and what I expect to happen during the new year. Kind of a nerdy thing, but hey, I'm a nerd. Now, of course, I will be very, very happy if everything I predict happens. But predictions are wobbly at best, aren't they? A good example of this is a true story relayed by author Alan Cohen. He was reading the newspaper one morning, and at the time, I don't know if he lived in Southern California or Hawaii, but he was reading the newspaper, and he opened, there was a big black box, an advertisement, an announcement. And it said, "The psychic convention that was scheduled next week has been canceled." And the reason they gave was, "Due to unforeseen circumstances." Well, make no mistake, prophets in the Bible aren't psychics. Biblical prophecy isn't about predicting the future. It's about following and speaking for God. It's just that we live in the future, and we see that these guys got it right. Well, even though he couldn't predict the future, Jeremiah knew enough to realize that as God's prophet, he would find himself in some pretty dicey situations. And what's worse, when God called Jeremiah to be his prophet, his nation was undergoing rapid change, rapid change. The time during Jeremiah's career were some of the most tumultuous years in all of Israel's history, and that is a very long history. I know it's hard for us to imagine such national instability, but during this morning's passage, when Jeremiah was first called by God, the nation was occupied by oppressors. Bad news. Well, then a king won them freedom. Good news. And then the king was defeated, and Jeremiah's people were sold into slavery and lived in utter desolation. So that was all in one person's career. Do you have any doubt why Jeremiah said, "No, thank you," when God called him to be a prophet? Jeremiah's world was being rocked. And we know about that, don't we? Our world is being rocked, not as drastically as Jeremiah's, or even as it was it 5-6 years ago when the Haiti earthquake happened right about now? Not at that dramatically, but we know in our own lives, in our own church, change happens. And this new year, or any new year, change is one prediction that is easy to come true, that will come true. Jesus knows change happens. He says so in our passage from Mark. Now, often people look at this passage, to these verses from Mark, as signs of when the end time is coming. But Jesus makes it very clear, oh no, there will be earthquakes and wars and famines, but that's not the end. It's not the end. Don't look for signs. These words aren't about predicting an end date. They are about worshiping the changeless, rock-solid God. And he wanted to steer away anyone who said, come on, give me a sign. Let me have the inside scoop. When everyone should be saying, I believe in God. Regardless of what happens, I believe in God. Well, to prove this point, Jesus pointed to the magnificent temple before them. And friends, it was magnificent. It was really magnificent. It was rock solid, mighty stone walls. It was the most stalwart and grand buildings the disciples had ever seen and would ever see in their lives. And that's when Jesus said, even this mighty temple will be destroyed. All these solid rocks that are built up so high will be tossed like pebbles. Now, this was beyond the disciples' imagination. They couldn't fathom a change that drastic. And yet, within a few decades, the temple was destroyed. And this is what's really sad. The temple was conquered and destroyed, but what little that remained of the temple, the conquerors went in and dismantled rock by rock, so that there would be no sign, no remnant, that any temple to worship God ever stood. Jürgen Moltmann is now a popular German theologian in his mid-80s. I saw him years ago at First Presbyterian Church in Libertyville, and I studied him in college, and I thought, oh, this will be fun, and the church was packed, and it was made up of people who weren't even born when I was studying him in college, and here he was in the mid-80s, and people from around the world were tweeting into this conference. He is such a popular theologian, but no one would have guessed that from his childhood. Jürgen Moltmann was raised in a family that thought religion was stupid, that faith was just irrelevant, no time for that nonsense. Still, he had a happy childhood, a very secure family, upper middle class, well-to-do family, until he was about 14 years old, when he and all of his friends were conscripted for World War II. And one of his earlier experiences was in Hamburg, the city of Hamburg, during a British Blitz. And I didn't understand all that a Blitz entailed until Jürgen Moltmann himself explained it. He said at first aluminum strips were dropped, which jammed all the defense mechanism. Then 1,000 planes started raining bombs on the city for 9 days and nine nights. I'm sorry, mostly nights. And Jürgen, young Jürgen, watched everything burn. Well, he was crouched down with his childhood buddy, because the town's boys stayed together as a troop, and they were told to maintain their post, even though bombs were coming in. Well, a bomb came in, and he ducked, but his friend didn't duck fast enough. And he looked over, and a friend he had known all his life was gone. And what do you do when you are an agnostic teenager in such a horrible situation? He didn't know what to do, but that was the first night Jürgen Moltmann prayed to God. Jesus was right. Change happens, sometimes very quickly and very harshly, and sometimes our world gets dismantled rock by rock. That's why Jesus tells his disciples not to place our faith in things like temples or nations or anything that can get destroyed. Jesus tells us to place our faith in God, the God who endures when things get torn down and built up, the God who is present in Hamburg during the Blitz and in Wildwood during the snow. God who is present when our world is routine or when it's a rockin' and a rollin'. Now, change, I think Jesus knew this, change makes us all feel vulnerable. And God knows that when we are most vulnerable, we are most easily tempted to grasp at straws or make excuses, tempted to succumb to fear, tempted to say no when we are called to say yes, and tempted just to quit, because things aren't like they used to be. Well, Jeremiah didn't want to follow God when the world around him was shifting and shifting so quickly. Jeremiah said, "No, sorry, God, I can't do what you ask. I'm too young, can't do it, sorry, find someone else." And God said, "Nice try, but I'm not falling for that. I've known you since before you even knew yourself, and I don't want your excuses, I want you." Have you ever experienced that? Knowing God is calling, and no excuse you can imagine will provide you peace. You know that you just need to follow God. And if you're like me, you can come up with some very creative excuses, though I'm afraid Jeremiah's one about being too young, that one I've worn out, sorry, I can't use that one anymore, but I've tried. But God doesn't accept excuses. But God makes promises, and God's promises are bigger than our excuses. And as God said to Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." And that promise has never failed since. Jürgen Moltmann endured more brutality as a teenage soldier in World War II, and eventually he was captured and taken to a POW camp in Scotland. Okay, quiz folks, what's the National Church of Scotland? Presbyterian. I heard those mumbles sounded like a couple of syllables that sounded like Presbyterian. All right. Well, I don't know. Has anyone here seen the movie Unbroken or read the book? I've read the book, I haven't seen the movie, but I was horrified by how Louis Zamperini was treated as a POW. Jürgen Moltmann was taken to Scotland, where they are Presbyterians, and they not only treated him humanely, they gave all their prisoners Bibles. So there, in a foreign and very cold land, his world rocked into incomprehension, Moltmann read the Bible for the first time. And he was stunned by the passion story where on the cross, Jesus felt forsaken, crying out, "Where are you, God?" Even though God was right there with him. That described exactly how young Moltmann felt. Moltmann knew that this Christ who pleaded for help on the cross was a Savior who understood him completely. This God, this Savior, knew Moltmann better than he knew himself, since before he was born into a family of agnostics and fought for a doomed and destructive nation. This God knew him, and there in a POW, as a POW, Moltmann knew this God called him. God said, I want you. I don't want excuses about your situation or your upbringing or your national shame. I want you. Now let's fast forward. It's a great thing about history. We can kind of go through time very quickly. About 20, 25 years later, 1960s, riots are all over. All the mainline denominations that helped build our nation are, for the first time in our nation's history, declining. And so Time magazine came out with a cover, all black, with the words, big print on it, God is dead. Anyone seen that cover? Anyone remember it? Yep. God is dead. Well, Jürgen Moltmann, who is now a Protestant pastor in Germany, responded by writing a book, The Theology of Hope. And Moltmann wrote, oh, ho, ho, no, God is not dead. Look at all we've been through. Just because what you're going through now is tough doesn't mean that God left. God is alive and offers the world continued, unparalleled compassion and continued, unparalleled hope for the future. This he discovered while he was a POW. Even when our world is being rocked by riots and doubt, God is present and there is hope. Well, a year later, guess what Time magazine's cover was? It was the book, The Theology of Hope. And it declared, God is alive, God is not dead, and there is hope. To this very day, The Theology of Hope is in print and sold worldwide. God is alive, and there is hope. Wildwood friends, even when winter hits with a vengeance, and it sounds like some of y'all are suffering colds and coughs, and the Bostroms have left for sunny California, even when our world is rocking and a-rolling, God is present. There is hope. In this new year and every new year, God is present, and there is hope. And here's another New Year's flash. God wants you. You make a difference, whether you write a book about the theology of hope or you simply live in hope. God wants you. The world around us may not always be stable. The skies above us may not always be silent. And I know some of you all were at the library when it exploded. Right, Emily? Were you there? And I know someone said they thought she hit something with her car. No. Explosions, earthquakes, tragedies, it all still happens. Change happens. Change happens this day and this new year, and we don't need a psychic convention to predict that. We know change is going to happen. But all we do need is hope in this new year and faith that God, our ever-present rock and redeemer, is with each one of us in 2015 and forever. Amen.